The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Manya and I recently finished a mini-series titled The Queen's Gambit. Some of you may have seen this series where a young lady named Elizabeth Harmon, at the age of 9, living as one without parents who'd been orphaned by an automobile accident, learn from one of the great teachers in her city the skill of chess. And they learned quite quickly was not only Elizabeth skilled at chess beyond what normal people, she was a prodigy. It came easily. She was a natural. She was brilliant. And one of the first steps in her journey to greatness was she enrolled in a competition, a contest. And when they asked her if she'd ever been in a contest before, they said, well, we'll put you in the beginner's bracket. She said, I don't want to be in the beginner's bracket. I'm not a beginner. She wanted to go against the best. She went against the best and she won. And throughout her journey as a great chess master, repetitively in her life's effort, every time that she met an adversity, she wanted to face the best. Every time she wanted to measure her skill sets, she wanted to go against the greatest challenge before her. You see, she was driven to be challenged in her greatness because she had been greatly gifted. Now, isn't that what we do in our culture? Whether we're thinking about professional athletes or those in business, we measure ourselves. We yearn to be challenged so that we can use the gifts we've been given to the greatest potential before us. We want to take advantage of what we've been gifted to make those around us better. That drives our faith. That drives our passion as community leaders and leaders in our family to use what we've been given not simply for us, but for the benefit of others, and most of all, for God's glory. You know, in our text today, where Matthew uses this parable to speak of the kingdom of God, throughout Matthew, 33 times, he uses the expression kingdom of heaven. And Matthew, meaning in that translation of scripture, the same as interpreted as the kingdom of God in Mark and Luke, because Matthew was embracing that fear, that reverence for God, making sure he didn't accidentally take the Lord's name in vain by saying kingdom of God. He used the expression kingdom of heaven to speak, as we are today, what is God's reign on earth to be about. You see, that's the challenge. That's the challenge that Matthew places before us today in this parable of the talents. How can we, dear friends, as people of faith, as people of God, work to embody God's reign, Christ's reign, His kingdom come to earth? Isn't that what we pray? Isn't that what we pray in the prayer Jesus taught us? Lord, may your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. You see, that's the call in the parable that Jesus spoke this morning in saying we as Christ people are to be people who work in our faith, who serve others. No, that's not the way we receive salvation. Salvation is a gift from God, but in response to that gift, we are people of work. Did you notice in our text today that the one who doubled the profits of his master, who received the 5 talents, what happened in response to him gaining those talents? Did he get to just go home and twiddle his thumbs? Noah's reward was this. Did y'all hear it? The master said, "You did awesome. Now I'm going to give you something else to do." The reward of your efforts is that God gifts us and says, when we are faithful, when we are trustworthy, our work never ends on earth. We are seeking, dear church, daily, inspired by the words of this text, to live out our faith in ways daily to help Christ's kingdom come to earth, to show His love, to express Him to the world around us for His glory and not that of our own. You see, that's the challenge. That's the call of our text today. Even as we approach this season of giving, as Jennifer and Lynn and I begin preparations and plannings today for the Advent season, and as we're now approaching Thanksgiving and in this month of giving thanks, I'm grateful for the way that word is organized. It's in our thanks that we are willing to give, to live outside of self, to share, yes, our financial resources in ways that enhance God's kingdom and our church, but to share our musical talents, our talents for leadership, our organizational record, and our ways of just smiling in a world that's full of frowns. You see, friends, those are the ways that we give outside of ourselves. And when we think of giving outside of ourselves for the other, there's a reciprocal effect. If you just think about our ministry here at Ripley Presbyterian Church, even as just a few of us can gather in this sanctuary, this sermon every week is broadcast to hundreds. And you, as leadership in our church, when I received a call to Memphis Theological Seminary to provide leadership in the president's office, our elders said, "We want to partner with you. We want you to stay here and minister with us to this community, as well as equipping leaders in our church for a lifetime of ministry." Have you considered that? That we, even together as Ripley Presbyterian Church, have a ministry equipping some 25 different denominations, 263 ministers every year. We share in that together. That's what happens when we live outside of ourselves. There's an exponential impact on the world around us for our God's glory. Friends, that's what we see and experience when we share our talents, our gifts for others and for God's glory. So that's the call. That's the call of our faith this morning that we hear in these talents. But it raises for me a question. Why do we want to give for others? Why do we want to live outside of ourselves? I mean, wouldn't it be better if we kept it all for us and counted what we could? We gain all we can all we get, and then set on our cans and enjoy it for us forever? Wouldn't that be better? So why would we embrace this call to work our faith, to do unto others? We see there's a couple of other hints in our scripture today that I think inspire us to be about people of ministry, people who serve the Master. First of all, did you notice in our text today that the talents, the man who received the five and the one who received the two, and even the one who had the one, those were not their talents. They were gifts of the Master that they had been given. Great wealth. Some people say that one talent in that day weighed 75 pounds. So can you imagine 75? Kenny's a mathematician. 75 times 5, that's almost 400 pounds, John, of gold that was entrusted to this most talented of the slaves. You see, that's the word our scripture says today. He gives to each according to what they can do.
what they can handle, what they can be.
Friends, may we never forget. Why do we give? Why do we use our talents? Because ultimately, they're not ours. Everything we have, like the servants in our text today, come from the Master above. Friends, we don't have breath in our lungs. We have no gifts, no intellects, no wealth without God's grace gifting us as His children. All we have, ultimately, is not ours. It's not ours to hold. We are simply those who have been entrusted by God, who've been blessed to be a blessing to those around us for God's glory. So the first message I received today of why would I want to live outside of self, to give of myself, is because simply it's not mine. It's all God's. It's all God's. But there are some other messages, friend, that inspire me in our text today of why we want to live beyond ourselves. Why we want to work in our faith, even as those who have faith as a gift from God. We want to work also because of this promise from the Master. Did you hear it in our text today? Did you hear the promise and the result that the one who had the 5 talents and the 2 talents, the response that the Master gave to them in their trustworthiness, Randall, he said this, "Well done, good and trustworthy slave. Enter now into the joy of your Master." You hear what's happening there? What I'm hearing is that when we practice Christ's kingdom on earth, when we live outside of ourselves and try to be servants in the model of Christ, friends, we too know the joy that Christ promises in our text. The Master said, "I'm giving you more work. You've been trustworthy, but here's the trade-off. In the work that I call you to, there is a joy beyond anything the world can give you." You see, friends, that's the beauty of our faith. That's the beauty of life in Christ, that our very life, Sharon, is a gift from God. Our hope for salvation and eternal glory in heaven is nothing more than a gift from God's Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. But God calls us to live out as people of work on earth in response to what we've received, and in our work, we know a joy beyond anything the world can give. You see, we journey ultimately with God. That's the story, the last message of the Master today. You know, I think back to my old football days, watching the limited SEC football games that were on yesterday. And one of the things I miss the most, Vince, in playing college football is getting to ride in those getting those police escorts. Man, I thought I was a high roller. I'd get to ride in those big buses, Kenny, air conditioned. There'd be 2 or 3 highway patrolmen in front of us, Doc, 1 behind us. And I remember one of the first places, Doc, we traveled to was LSU. And we drove in there, and I was a young freshman, greenhorn from Faulkner, Mississippi, riding in this police escort. And I noticed, you know, there was such respect from everybody. We were college athletes. We drove into Baton Rouge, and I saw all those LSU fans waiting on us as we were coming. They couldn't wait for us to get there. And they was all telling us, "We were number one. Y'all are number one." And then I got a little closer. No, they were saying something else, and it wasn't number one. And then they started rocking our buses and telling us we were doomed. But I still, Vince, miss those escorts, because, you know, I got to travel. I got to travel with the head coach. I got to travel and represent our university because I was part of the team. Friends, there is joy in practicing our faith and being part of the team of God's kingdom on earth. And when we do so, Doc, when we do so, the greatest promise of our text today is that when we as servants, Randall, embrace God's call to serve beyond ourselves, we enter into the joy of the presence of our Master as we ride with Him, the head coach beyond coaches. For when we serve not alone, but through God who strengthens us for His glory every day. Friends, we want now to share concerns with one another and joys with one another as we pray for God's people, those the Lord's entrusted us to. Will you pray with me? God, we are blessed. We are blessed as this congregation. We're blessed as a virtual church of those who are listening. We've got Baptists and Catholics and Episcopalians and Church of Christ, Methodists and all kind of folks, the melting pot of your church who are part of our ministry now. We pray for them and with them. We all lift our voices to heaven right now, God, for each other and with one another. Whether the needs be physical, spiritual, mental, emotional, or relational, O Lord, you are the physician, the restorer. For each one who has special requests and wants today, when their heart's desire, O God, can be in accordance with your holy need and pleasure for their life, would you open the floodgates of heaven, pour forth your bounteous blessings. We pray for your church, regardless of denomination or location. We ask that you inspire and empower your people in ministry to give of themselves, to serve this world and know the joy of living outside of self. We pray for our nation. We ask for restoration to the brokenness in our land, that you will bring healing and bring us together as one people centered on serving this world through the love of Christ for your glory. We pray for every person we mentioned this morning, those on our prayer list whose names go unspoken, those who've been posted here virtually this morning. We ask that you bring miracles of grace, God. Yes, we pray for miracles. And we believe that miracles do occur and do come through your love and grace. Sometimes those miracles are on this side of heaven. But ultimately, all of our prayers that are for your glory will be answered, even if not until that heavenly realm where there's no more sickness, no more sorrow, no more goodbyes, only life, love, and joy forever. Now, God, we pray for ourselves as individual families. We ask that you guide us, that you forgive us, that you receive our worship, and make us more like you, Jesus, as we as your people help your kingdom to come on earth. And now receive our prayers as we pray together the prayer you taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And now, friends, as